Before we get to our good friend Captain Steve Kellums, I got to pass this Monday story on. We gave you the other side of Monday with Margaret's ankle issue, but a 19-year-old in California, her name is Rosa Dominguez. Margaret, where you've had perhaps some bad luck over the weekend.
I saw
19-year-old Rosa won $555,555 on a $5 scratch-off purchased at a gas station.
Which is pretty cool.
Huh, when you're 19,
yeah,
you're rich for life.
Right.
After that win, she said she was nervous and, quote, just wanted to cry. Well, a few days later, the itch got her again. She bought another $5 scratch-off at a different station and won $100,000. Two tickets, 2 days, $655.
And I want to just touch her, So 55. It's just like, give me some of that good luck.
Big plans, going shopping, and she's going to buy herself a new car. At that point, you have to stop playing, or are you on a streak? You continue to play thinking, well, geez, if I've won two in a row, why can't I win three in a row? So let that be your Monday story
good
to make you feel a little bit better. And that is a funny, funny story. So sometimes lightning does strike twice. On the telephone this morning is our good friend and the captain from the Bloomington Police Department, Steve Kellums. Are you that lucky, Captain Kellums? Have you ever pulled anything such a remarkable trick as such?
If only I had, I wouldn't be talking to you right now.
Well, that's a fair point. That's an absolutely fair point. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, Margaret. Good morning, Glass.
Good morning.
Now, did you have I know your weekend couldn't possibly have been as good as
hers. It was a full moon. What was your weekend like?
it was a typical weekend for us. You know, we've talked about this before, but, you know, we just stay busy all the time now. So it's been pretty typical, and nothing too outrageous or unusual. But at the same time, our guys stay busy, very, very busy.
And as we've seen here in recent times, we've seen obviously the newspaper, we've seen the stories, we've seen the headlines, we've seen the social media about epidemic crisis. It doesn't matter which adjective we use. We know you've been very busy. Last Thursday, Mayor John Hamilton came out and kind of gave an 11-month review on the safe and civil downtown. Did you hear everything from the mayor you wanted to hear? Because we know how directly it's affected you and your office.
Well, you know, we've always worked closely with the mayor's office on presenting, you know, our information to them and giving him the best, most updated information that he has on what's going on and the issues that we're dealing with downtown. So, those conversations, those statements are all taken from the data that we're providing him, and we do provide a lot of that as we continually try to deal with some of these problems that are taking place downtown. And we've seen it for a long time, and it's been building up over a period of time. And our new redirected efforts downtown, our new priorities and pushes in those areas, and then of course the most recent issues we've run into with the spice overdoses that have dramatically raised not only our responses, but the ambulance service responses, the fire department's responses, just all of public safety in general are really being stretched to their limits with some of these problems going on downtown.
But doesn't that reinforce the point of it's not a homeless thing, it's a behavioral thing? And I think that's what the press conference on Thursday reinforced after what they've gone through and have seen the data they've collected. And then you mentioned the problems you've had recently.
Well, even the Shalom Center director said that a lot of these people he had never even seen before.
Well, and that's just it. It's what we said all along is this isn't a homeless problem. So the issues with regards to the homelessness, that's not what we're dealing with. You know, it's about that bad behavior, and it's about some of those addiction issues. Well, you know, the people that we're seeing hanging out, overdosing on these drugs, they're using them multiple times, they're overdosing multiple times, and we're having to deal with them. It's kind of this street culture or almost a street party that we've been dealing with time and time again. So that it's not a homeless issue at all. And as I've said before, we don't go around and make people leave the parks. We've never done that. We've simply increased our patrols and presence and tried to deal with that criminal behavior. And when we see those people leave or move on, we're seeing those people that are committing crimes, causing problems, you know, generally messing up the community. They're moving on. And then, of course, we're trying to move with them and try to deal with some of those issues wherever they pop up.
Yeah, and it's regardless of where it pops up. If it's downtown, perhaps it's noticed by more people. But if you've read what the Herald Times has been publishing, this has been happening all over town. So when you are focusing on keeping the downtown area patrolled, safe, whatever, and then you have all this going on the fringes, how stretched are you?
Well, that's the resource problem that we've talked about, you know, ever since I came on the show.
It's not like everybody goes to the same spot and says, hey, let's just party here. This is happening not in one spot.
Well, it's definitely easier when they do party in one spot, but, you know, they don't. It happens all over town. And then, of course, we have issues that pop up in neighborhoods. We have crime that pops up all over the city, traffic accidents. Our traffic's increasing. You know, I-69 construction bringing people in. We've got the wonderful summers in Lake Monroe. We've got the visitors coming in for that. And, you know, pretty soon we're going to have students coming back and parents visiting and all of that kind of traffic coming in. And, you know, while we're very concerned with the issues taking place downtown, that increases all of our calls for service all over the city. We got 20 square miles to cover. So that spending that time downtown is critical and important to us because we know that's the core of our city. That's what we're trying to make sure stays nice and clean up some of the problems we saw there. But it doesn't stop us from having to deal with the other 20 square miles of issues and problems in the city of Bloomington.
So have you had any luck in figuring out who is bringing in the stuff that is causing all these overdoses?
Well, it's a wide variety of issues and people. We have made a couple of arrests. We do believe that they were involved in some of this vice delivery, and that's why those arrests were made. We're still continuing to investigate and find other people, but the availability of spice, you can get this stuff over the internet. It just makes it really hard for us to kind of choke down on this and stop some of these problems from happening. So it's a challenge for our investigators. And the other thing is the criminal level of spice is much lower than some other drugs. So even when we make those arrests, typically they're not staying in jail very long.
And the part about the behavior of it is you can't stop people that want to take it. You just have to deal with the after effects, right?
Correct. I mean, this is really about addiction issues and behavior issues that all we can do, based on our job, all we do is deal with that criminal behavior and make some of those arrests. We've tried to do other things. That's why we work closely with the social service issues and our downtown resource officers. We have had some success in getting people into some addiction treatments and dealing with some of those problems, but it's hard. When they don't want help, all they're going to do is go right back out and overdose again.
So, go ahead, Margaret.
I'm curious. A lot of people are claiming that there are not the resources for these individuals to go to get help. I don't personally, I find that really hard to believe. Don't we have a lot of resources? If someone has addiction issues, are there not places for them to go to get help?
Well, there's a tremendous amount of resources, not only in the city of Bloomington, but in Indiana itself. I mean, we're such a great community. We're such a giving community that there's lots of opportunities in Bloomington. But I have a list of resources for addiction issues, and homeless issues, in my office that are like 7 pages long.
Yeah.
So there are a lot.
So these folks who are claiming that this isn't available and that these people don't have any options, I'm sorry. I find that really tough to swallow.
Well, you know, I don't know the bed availabilities. I don't know if these places are full, but I do know I have a long list of phone numbers to call to try to provide help for people that actually want it.
Captain Steve Kellums is our guest this morning.
I think that's the key, don't you think so? It's they want to if they want to have help, there it's out there.
Part two of our interview with Captain Steve Kellums from the Bloomington Police Department. Good morning. Are you with us? There we are. That was good. I like the little
back,
pit stop.
Yeah.
We got four tires and a full tank of fuel, so we're ready to go here for part number two.
We're ready to roll now.
Yeah, in the question I was asking you before the cellular world collapsed on us was last week when we saw the mayor's remarks and Chief Dekoff's remarks, the one thing that jumped off the page to me that was very interesting was people coming from other places and how the chief of police has had to call up and say, hey, look, we'd prefer if you'd not do that. I mean, that's just, these are some of the things that people don't understand that goes on.
Well, yeah, as I've said before, you know, Bloomington has these services and a lot of other areas don't. And so they've kind of tried to simplify their problems by sending them to us. And it's just overwhelming. Not only do we have some of our own issues, but taking on all these other issues and other problems, particularly without much, consult on our end, becomes real problematic. And our officers are running into this all the time. So we provide, that's some of the data that we provided to the, you know, to the mayor's office, some very specific examples of people that had been brought to Bloomington, dropped off by other law enforcement agencies, other social service agencies that brought them here saying, you know what, they'll help you here. And then they just kick them out the door. And that makes a huge problem for us.
Well, and the other part of it is there a stigma that is that goes around this part of the state, region, whatever you want to call it, says, oh, go there, they'll let you do it, they're liberal, they don't care, you can have a grand old time there. That's not the case, is it?
Well, I you know, honestly don't know. I'm not really sure what their thought process is, although I would have to say that probably generally what they're looking at are people that need services and need help that they can't provide. So instead of trying to utilize their own resources to provide some of those services or give them options and opportunities, they just bring them to us. And that overwhelms our system. It overwhelms the people that are trying to help. It overwhelms the community that's trying to help. And it definitely overwhelms law enforcement.
Well, I also think that there is, at least I've heard this from various people, there is a reputation of Bloomington being a lot more accepting of bad behavior than a lot of other communities might be. And that is just, that's being passed around and, at that lower level of people who are coming in here. And again, it's hearsay. I haven't heard it specifically said to me by anyone, but I've heard it from other people who know some of the street people. And gotta wonder.
Well, the other thing you can add to that is, well, you're putting in sharps boxes here, and you've got this there. That just kind of condones what we're doing. Just don't get caught doing it. That can't possibly be the way we're moving forward with this, correct?
Well, that's definitely not from a law enforcement standpoint. You know, our position always has been and continues to be that, you know, we find that criminal activity, you know, we're going to take action on that criminal activity. So, you know, I think that it's pretty clear amongst the community that from our end, we're doing everything that we can to, you know, to deal with those issues. I think our biggest problem, as I said over and over again, is having the actual resources to deal with all these things that they pop up all over the place.
And that makes sense, and that is fair.
Well, the stories that were in the paper over the weekend were talking about some other counties having similar issues. So it's just not here in Monroe County that this is going on.
Absolutely not. The opioid crisis is all over the United States, and we've seen that over the last 10 years. When I started, some of my time I spent in drug enforcement and narcotics enforcement, you know, we were seeing huge spikes in prescription pill problems and overprescriptions of those opioids out of a variety of doctors' offices and pain clinics. We particularly saw those issues with the pain clinics in Florida and Tennessee that were just pushing out thousands and thousands of pills to anybody that walked in and wanted them. And whenever the money for those pills became so much that people couldn't afford them, that had become addicted to them legitimately and illegitimately, they moved to heroin. So that opioid crisis is all over the United States. I've seen a number of studies, a number of surveys through law enforcement communities about the problem, you know, dating back again 7-8 years when this prescription crisis really hit. And, you know, what we're seeing now with the spice, that's kind of, a fairly newer issue, and it's very, very different than the heroin issue. So sometimes we'll get confused because we call them overdoses. But that spice overdose isn't really an overdose like we would consider that heroin overdose where the person is lying there dying and they have to have intervention to keep from dying. Mostly what we're seeing with spice is these super high levels of intoxication and people that are passing out. The same way a person who drinks so much alcohol that they pass out on the bar stool, that's technically an overdose. And that's what we're seeing with these spice overdoses, is that they're super high levels of intoxication that and they're happening in public, so we're dealing with them.
And that's, yeah,
so
and you're
they're,
dealing with
they're
them.
They're not potentially going to die from that.
Well, we don't know, and that's part of the problem with spice, is because you never know what's in it. They very well could die from it, the same way a person who drinks too much alcohol can die from it. And that's why I say overdose is technically the correct term. But also, it's also highly likely that they'll sober up, for lack of a better term, that they'll sober up after a period of time. And we're seeing multiple overdoses. We're seeing individuals that are overdosing 2 and 3 times on spice. So it's a variety of issues that aren't, it's not quite similar with the heroin. It just happens to, you know, coincide with those heroin overdoses that we've seen consistently.
Captain Steve Kellums is our guest this morning. He checks in from the Bloomington Police Department. You've been in this game for 30 years. When, I don't know if when crack hit the scene back in the day, is that similar because of the affordability? Or why is everybody deciding, not everybody, I know that's a broad brush, but it seems like so available, it's so easy to make, it's so easy to get.
Why is the street culture gravitating towards these two drugs?
Well, again, like I said, with heroin, you're dealing with people who were spending money to buy, to buy those prescription painkillers, those opioid-based painkillers like OxyContin and Roxy's and things like that. And the cost for those went up and up until they couldn't afford them anymore. And they were paying $30, $40, $80, $120 for a pill that they would then crush and inject. Well, when you can buy a bag of heroin, a bindle of heroin, a dose of heroin for $10, $12, as opposed to $120, people move to heroin. And that's exactly what
we've been
seeing.
That is so strange. I can't even imagine putting a needle in my arm.
It's not even that. It's
the power
of the power of the opioid making you want to do all that.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a huge addiction issue and problem. And again, you can trace it all the way back to the prescription pill issues and problems we had. And it's just kind of building off of that. And that's why you see there are commercials on TV about people that have problems going to the bathroom because they're taking too many opioids.
Right.
In and of itself should scare you. And that's what we've been dealing
but
with.
But it isn't, because fear has nothing to do with the addiction.
She's
too powerful. Right. It is. And well, let's get to some happier things. You guys, besides covering 1920 square miles with limited resources, are also finding time to reach out to the community. When's our next event where we can meet you in a positive way?
Well, you know what? I have to look up the date. The National Night Out's coming up.
Okay, great.
It's July 31st, but I'm not 100% sure of that date. I've got to look it up.
Well, that's all right. We'll talk before that. Yeah, we'll make sure we get caught up before
that. Yeah, and we're going to be at the warehouse. We're going to be working with the people down at the warehouse, and we're going to put on an event for kids, the National Night Out, and families to come out and see a lot of what we do at the police department. We'll have different groups out that are showing some of the some of the things that we do and provide. So that'd be a great time for people to come out and families to come out and see us. And look for more information about that on our Facebook page.
And it's air conditioned.
That's probably the next big thing. And it's air conditioned. Well, that's why it's going to be inside this time of year. We'll still do the Banneker Blue and You again in the fall like we did last year. So that's another thing coming up. And then, of course, our Teen Academy. We're really looking forward to that one. We have about 50 kids signed up for that. And that's coming up the last week of this month, July 24th through the 28th. And our guys have so much fun doing that and getting out with the teens in the community and showing them what we do and just interacting with them and just having a ball and with something we're really excited about.
So is there any highlights about the Teen Academy you can tell folks about?
Well, I mean, we're going to bring in these kids, and we're going to, give them a taste of the police academy. That's kind of our goal. So we put them through some physical fitness.
That's what I was going to say. Do they get to do some of the physical fitness stuff? Or are they going to get to sit in the cars and see what you guys do
all
with the computers?
That. Yeah.
And
calisthenics every morning. we'll do a lot of team building. We'll do some obstacle courses. But they're also going to get an opportunity to ride around with our instructors doing emergency vehicle operations. So they'll get a ride around in the car with that. We have some people coming out from the National Traffic Safety Administration that puts them through some driving simulators.
Oh, cool.
We bring out some firearms. Yeah, we do some firearm simulators where they get to, it's a firearms training simulator where they get to watch a video and hold an air compressed gun and try to make use of force decisions, and we'll teach them about that. They're going to see our SWAT team come out and perform some demonstrations. Our dive team will perform demonstrations. Our canine unit, along with some others in town, will come out and perform demonstrations. So, these kids are going to have a lot of fun all week long.
That's wonderful.
Good coffee at a cop last Thursday.
Had a great time. It was a great turnout. We were over there at First Financial on College and had some great coffee and great conversation. A lot of people came out to see us, and we really appreciated the community coming out and saying hi.
Excellent. And for more information, the easiest place to go is the Facebook page. Just put in Bloomington Police Department, then make sure you pick our Bloomington, not anybody else's, or you'll be confused on to why these other events are happening. Hey, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you, as always, and we'll get caught up here in a couple weeks and see what else is developing.
Absolutely. It's been my pleasure. Bye, Glass. Bye, Margaret.
Have a wonderful day.